Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Passed yesterday. But you remember this guy?
And just know you're doing the right thing. Like some people say, we all agree Trey will be right, right? But technically still 1% wrong for being under contract. So in my case, I'm 100% right. So it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17.5 sacks for 2 years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that. But
so that was a few days ago. That was Shamir Stewart, the rookie drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Adam Schefter tweeted something out recently.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Cincinnati's unsigned first-round pick Shamar Stewart now has left mandatory minicamp. Stewart had been attending team activities but without a signed contract and with the Bengals asking for certain clauses, no longer.
Good. I applaud yes. him. Absolutely. Wonderful.
Too.
Good job out of you. What's his name?
Shamar.
Shamar Stewart. Because in the system, it's Smar Stiart. And I'm...
he types fast.
I'm going quick.
It's early. 30. I don't even know what that means. Good. I support him 100%. I will stand by that guy to the day I die with what the Cincinnati Bengals are trying to do to him. And I think it's a shoddy thing what they're trying to do to this kid. If you don't know, they're trying to add clauses to a contract that no other team puts in and that they've never had in their contracts before. They're trying to change things up and set a precedent. And he's like, man, not going to happen. Now, what are his options, right? The best option for him right now that I see, and it's really the only option. This came from Florio, who you know has been involved deep on this one, right? Mm. Something like this happens. I always go to Pro Football Talk because he's a lawyer. He knows about all this kind of stuff, and I think always has good opinions and takes on this kind of stuff. His Chiefs takes suck, but his legal stuff is really good. So first place I go, Pro Football Talk, to see what he's talking about because he's got that background. And he said today, he's like, he doesn't really have many options other than sitting out the entire year and re-entering the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that.
Well, I mean, can he win in the fandom of Cincinnati at this point?
I think, yes, because this is habitual with Cincinnati. Okay. I think their fans are resigned to know that their organization is a dumpster fire loaded with ass, and it's being pushed down the Ohio River. So I think
that stinks.
I think they know, like, if this was a one-off and this was something, this is consistent with how the Bengals operate. I mean, their best player, their sack artist, can't get a deal done with him.
Defensive player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, defensive player.
Defensive player, yeah. I mean, Bengal fans have been living this life for a long time.
Right.
They should know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I think this guy's got the fans on his side. I would hope he does. Because they could look at it and go, oh, this organization again, just when we're starting to kind of turn things around, this is what happens now. So if this guy like sits out the entire year and re-enters the draft, watch the Bengals take him again.
Stop.
Oh, we forgot that's who we drafted. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right, right? Well, hey, we forgot. Oh, we picked him again? You know, because that has happened in the baseball draft. There was a guy the Cardinals drafted one year, and they drafted the wrong guy with the same name, and he showed up. And they're like, all right, I guess you're here now. They want to know why they want to know why they got rid of minor league teams. I was working in New Jersey, and they said, yeah, we drafted the wrong I can't remember who it was at this point. Same guy, same name. We drafted the wrong guy. And he said, this guy's here, so whatever.
Who's the man of the day? I am. You're not. You wished it. I am because you can't be.
So don't tell me there's too many, right? Like there's too many rounds of a base. There's not. No, there's way too many rounds. They didn't even know who the hell they were drafting.
Leon Sandcastle.
Yeah, so this guy here, I don't know, man. Like, I think he's doing the right thing. I support him, and I hope he gets what he wants because the Bengals are trying to screw these guys. And as a pro football player, man, you got one, and if you're lucky, a second opportunity to make money. Don't F with these guys, man.
Define irony. I'm going to leave so I'm not a distraction while also still remaining a distraction. It's like... Because he's J.A.C. Oh. Sorry, I thought I hit the different one. So the vote yesterday about Brokeback. So yesterday there was a vote that passed in the Missouri House. The
Chaz Jism.
It now moves to Kehoe's desk. A lot of jokes there. But what does this mean?
I'm trying to think of the word to use. It's nice, but it's not real. Mm. And it's not real because it still needs a local vote to pass, whether that's a Jackson County only vote for the Chiefs. I don't believe the Chiefs are going to be working, or the Chiefs, the Royals are going to be working with Jackson County. So it requires something for Casey Moe to do from a tax standpoint. And I'm sure L will try to get something done to do that. But there's still a local component that needs to be passed for any of this to matter. Like it's a house of cards, for lack of a better term, right? You know, you ever go to like a back lot of a studio and you see all the fronts of the sets and you look behind them and it's all just like 2x4s holding them up and there's nothing behind there? That's kind of what this bill is. It is a step, but in order to complete the process, you still have to have a vote locally and tax the local taxpayers for this part to kick in that the state is giving them. The state's money is on condition of a vote passing locally to add a sales tax component to this.
And then this was John Katz on the drive, or on Cody and Gold, I believe yesterday, when it comes to the potential Starbond extension in Kansas.
Legislative Coordinating Council is the group in Kansas made up of elected leadership. Okay, so elected leaders in the state house and the state senate. If they feel like they are close to inking a deal with either team, but it's not done by that June 30th deadline, they could extend the Starbond package. However, Kansas State Senate President Ty Masterson, the Republican from Andover, east of Wichita, told our John Holt this past Sunday that if they feel like they're close, they'll extend it, but they're not going to extend it for a year. They may extend it for a month or two, but they're not going to extend it up to a full year, which they have the ability to do, but it sounds like they're not going to do. They may extend it if they feel like they're close. The Kansas Department of Commerce is close to a deal with one or both teams.
Yeah, man, and that seems about logical. I think the longest, and this is from talking to people in the know over the last couple of days, mm-hmm. the longest they would be able, and I use the term able because there's, you know, if you're going to get a vote in Missouri, you've got to get ballot language by January. The longest it could go in Kansas would kind of be to the end of the year. I don't know how much of an appetite there is for that. I think what Kett said is probably about right. But after the first of the year, you're going to have changeover with all that. Ty Masterson, I think, is out of office after this calendar year. The governor is obviously, she's got, her term limit is up as well in the state of Kansas. So if new people come in and they want to do something, maybe the new people aren't going to be on board with the Starbond. So time becomes an essence in Kansas as well. But the Missouri thing is nice, right? But it's not a complete thing by any stretch of the means because it still requires a local vote. And the earliest that could happen would be April of next year. Ballot language in Jackson County would need to be completed by January of 26 to be on the April ballot of 26. And so if they get to that point where they do need to have the votes in Missouri, like if both teams reject Kansas and say no to Kansas and then they need to have the vote in Missouri, that has to be done by January to get money or to get ballot language completed. The talk is that there's going to be potentially a Jackson County vote Chiefs only. What does that mean for the Royals? Well, then there would have to be a KC Mo vote, just KC Mo of a Royals only type of deal. This deal in Missouri is nice, but it doesn't matter unless the voters locally vote to contribute to what the state is putting in. So there's still another big component going back to the voters that rejected you basically 60-40 a year ago and trying to convince them with a Chiefs only in Jackson County or maybe a Royals only in just KC Mo to get this money from the state. So there's still a lot out there that needs to be done to get this money from the state. This doesn't mean Missouri won and Kansas lost or anything like that. It means it's still an open dialogue and an open conversation. And the term that I was given yesterday by somebody, it's complicated. And I think that's a great way to put it. That's your Facebook status. It's complicated right now. We've got this new girl that really, really likes us, but our old flame is pulling and tugging and saying, come on back. But we don't know if we're ready to commit, if she's not truly ready to commit, and that's where the vote comes in place on the Missouri side. Again, Kansas doesn't need a vote. All the teams have to do, and they've been both teams have been working very diligently with both states to get plans in place. But for the Kansas side of things, all they need to do, the Chiefs need to just pick up the phone and call Laura Kelly and go, we're in. And John Sherman needs to pick up the phone and call Laura Kelly and go, we're in, and it's done in the state of Kansas, and no vote is needed. If they choose to go the route and let Missouri have a vote and all that, then you're playing it all out, and there has to be a local financial contribution as well, and that means a vote of the public. So I don't know what the teams are going to decide to do, but that's kind of what's out there right now. It's nice, but it's really nothing is different than it was yesterday until a local component is passed on that.
Shout out to D. That was the winner of the Hy-Vee qualifier. One more qualifier tomorrow, and then a random winner will be selected for a $500 gift card to Hy-Vee for Father's Day this weekend. Saw some earlier say if they won the gift card, they're going to spend $250 at Hy-Vee and then gift the other $250 to their dad.
Hell yeah,
Father's
that's a great
Day
idea.
You give me $250 and I'm your dad for Hy-Vee, you might be the best kid in the house.
You know what would be awesome if you could do this? Go to Hy-Vee, load up your cart, and get $250 exactly, not $250.37 or $249.27 or something like that. If you could nail $250 exactly.
I beg, is there a way I can round up to those, you know, industries that you told me to do that? Yes, I'd like to do it for about 8 cents. Oh, great donation. But it's at $250,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it hits it thank even, you. Right, yeah.
Coming up on the other side, we get to Mac's burning question as we are 85 days away from the first NFL game that matters of the season here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I know that I'm hard.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Cave. You know what that means? Bug in the nose.
Yeah.
What, I got a bug hanging? By the way, leaderboard update at the U.S. Open, J.J. Spahn, 4-under. Number two placed, Gary Woodland, -3. Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy, and Wyndham Clark all at -2 at your top of your leaderboard. So how about the local guy, Gary Woodland, there for you?
Yeah, I like that a lot. If you could pick one golfer of all time to win this tournament this year, who would it be?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I think so.
And see. Phil Mickelson would complete the career grand slam if he won the US Open.
Do you want him to, or are you like one of those guys that kind of likes that he hasn't completed that yet?
I'm just never, nor have I ever been a Phil Mickelson guy, so him winning has never really done it for me.
Yeah, for me it did, because I was left-handed, he's left-handed, so I kind of always liked that, you know, but other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, now he's just kind of cringe.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He just doesn't. I'm just like, cool, man. You drink like extreme black coffee and do these weird workouts and you have gambling problems. Like, it's okay, cool, dude. You also got paid a ton of money to be in Lids.
Hell yeah, he did. Good for him, man. Hey,
those are the type of people that should have done it. The guys that were against their backs against the wall. So that is your leaderboard. JJ Spahn, -4. Gary Woodland, -3. Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy, Wyndham Clark, all at -2.
Why don't they do the U.S. Open one year with like all athletes of other sports that golf really well? Like Tony Romo, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Curry. George Brett. Yeah, Steph Curry. That would be kind of fun.
They do. That'd be great. At Tahoe.
Yeah, basically. That's true. They do. So, yeah.
They have it. And that's like basically their U.S. Open. That's an event I would love to go to.
I went a couple of times. It was fun, man. A lot of fun.
If I had a really loaded friend that had one of those yachts, just sits out there in the lake and Aaron Rodgers so would throw sick. You a bit football every once in a while. Mahomes will throw you a football. Yeah.
Tahoe's heaven on earth, bro.
They have the basketball goal there where they'll shoot like the free throws or whatever it is, or three-pointer. It's just you've never seen this tournament before, have you?
No, I've seen – I know what you're talking about.
But you know, you see the clips like Mahomes being like hammered, couldn't get the ball in the hole or whatever. Yeah. Dude, it's so fun to watch the whole time.
It'd be a blast.
It was fun. We got to go out there and cover that. And it's like – it's just great.
It's an accepted frat party.
Yeah.
It
really is.
Everybody gets hammered, and it's an all-day event. So at your own pace, on you go. It's 9 a.m.
It's the place where I dove off the boat to the bottom of the lake with my glasses on.
Oh.
So walking around Tahoe, squinting for a week. You want to talk about a headache, right? It was awful.
Seriously. Plus you had the booze and the sleep.
And all that kind of stuff. Marcus Allen was singing karaoke. And
hell yeah.
Trent Green's like, why are you squinting at me? Do you not recognize me? Like, Trent, I can't see anybody, right? Thank God I was getting LASIK the following week, right? It was like it couldn't have timed out any better. But my God, my eyes, my head, everything was just awful. You know, if you lose your glasses, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But it is a really, really fun event and an opportunity that I didn't take lightly, as they like to say, but I did because I lost my glasses.
Well, you better put your glasses on. It's time to get in focus because we're 85 days away from the first real game of the season that starts off the NFL season. That is Philadelphia. No, I'm just kidding. That is the Chiefs and Chargers in Sao Paulo, Brazil, according to the NFL. Today.
That's right. Again, that's not us being homers. The NFL put out its important dates calendar, and the first game they have listed is Chiefs and Chargers on Friday night, totally forgetting about the Thursday game.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Mm. You think Adele's going to go to both of those games?
No.
I mean, she could.
He could. I mean, yeah, you know. But do you think he goes to both of those games?
I think he said Adele.
Yeah, rumor has it she'll be at both.
Well, you know. She could set fire Thursday to the rain for Friday.
There we go.
Yeah.
I knew you'd join in.
All right, Mac, take it away.
Burning question. Who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs this year in the AFC?
The easy answer is Buffalo, right? That's an easy answer. But I ask you guys, is that the right answer? Is the easy answer the right answer in this situation? Because sometimes you look at the easy answer and you're like, it's too easy to be the correct answer. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like the easy answer is the right answer in this one. I still think it's Buffalo.
Dustman?
No. I think the answer is Denver.
Ooh, I like that answer a lot.
And I think,
hot take.
I think
No, not hot. Good take.
I think
they're both can be exist at the same time.
Yeah, but
can
I exist at the same time. When people say hot take, they think you're like being an idiot. I don't think he's being an idiot.
Oh, I don't think that at all. I wasn't trying to say that. No, this is a good hot take. Yeah.
Yeah, no, what
Travis Hunter's a bust. Good hot take.
Yeah.
Right. The reason I say this is because they have the best defense in the AFC. Mac might think they have the best defense in the NFL or one of the top three defenses in the NFL. They're in your own division. You will play them twice. They are clearly getting better. They foisted that Russell Wilson thing onto other teams, and now they've got their own system with a quarterback and a coach that now he can control, and that quarterback can believe in his coach as well. And when you add that defense, you add a competent head coach, and you add a little bit of we've done it before to these guys, or we know that we were a blocked field goal away from the only game that really mattered against these guys. I think the Denver Broncos are your biggest threat because they could take away your division streak. They could take away if they take away your division, they take away your top four seed to where you have a home game and you're on the road every single round. I think Buffalo is, you know, obviously good. I think Cincinnati's great. I think Baltimore's great. But I start where it's closest to home, right? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Or your enemies closer, your friends closer. Can't get fooled again.
Keep your friends close. Yeah, your enemies closer. Yeah.
And I think you have to look at your enemies. Your enemies are always in your own division. Don't look outside of your division right now. Buffalo's going to be good. Buffalo's got the AFC East to take care of. But inside your own division, they have made it evidently clear that earlier on in the 2000s, nobody wanted to be a part of Tom Brady for some weird reason, and I can't figure it out yet. People want to go after Patrick Mahomes in his own division. The Chargers have Harbaugh. The Raiders went and got Carroll and Geno. And the Broncos have probably one of the best defenses in football. They have a new inspiring quarterback, and they have a head coach that's done it before. So I worry about the Broncos.
Yeah, that's a really good case that you just laid out there. And you know where I was on Bo Nix going into last season. He exceeded my expectations. Their defense was better than I ever thought it was going to be. Max says it's one of the best in the NFL. And yeah, you may be right. It may be the Denver Broncos, because I do think they're the second best team by a long shot in this division. Denver's a good one, man. Denver's a good. I don't want to say they're going to be quietly good this year, because I think they're the team that everybody is kind of looking at. But I think Denver's got a shot this year to be pretty good. So we'll see if they're able to put it all together. But Denver's a really good one.
What's the thing that would stop Denver?
Well, just like anybody, a key injury.
Or
a regression by Bo Nix.
That would be mine.
Or a huge sophomore slump.
That would be my big answer. That'd
or
be my
Sertan
concern.
Gets exposed in the secondary, or the D-line is, but I don't think that's happening. Yeah. Like, it's hard to do that, man.
Sertan,
like,
yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Or the Chiefs are just better than them, you know?
Sertan's the best corner in football.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we're kind of talking about the Denver Broncos like they're the Kansas City Chiefs here in a second. I mean, seriously, you can hear the scaredness, if you will, in all of our voices with the Denver
they're
Broncos.
They're a blocked field goal last year and beating you twice.
Yeah.
Starters or no starters. Yeah. They would have. That's a huge, dude, I don't care who you are, that's a huge bulletin builder in your locker room.
Yeah, no, Denver's going to be really good. Yeah, I do believe Denver's going to be good. But that's also the beauty of the NFL. You can literally flip it overnight. Because 2 years ago, the Denver Broncos had Nate Hackett as their head coach and Russell Wilson as their quarterback. And now we're talking about them being one of the biggest competitors, if not the biggest competitor, in the AFC to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Somebody says from the 816, we're taking Bo Nix and the Broncos more seriously than the Bills or the Ravens. Okay, then. The Bills and the Ravens. Okay. The Ravens will get beat up in their own division, so they don't worry me as much as that. The Broncos have a very, very damn good defense, and I think that you're going to realize that this question, when you have a really good defense and a guy in Sean Payton that can manage a quarterback like Bo Nix, you're going to see a game that's going to frustrate you and piss you off, and it ain't just going to be the Chiefs. It's going to be a lot of people, because they're going to get pressure on quarterbacks, they're going to lock up secondaries, and what they're going to lock up wide receivers with their secondary, and then what they're going to do is they're going to move their own pace. And they still have Cortland Sutton. They went and got Evan Ingram. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be a lot better than you think.
They are going to be good.
So, okay then, guy. Yeah. I'll accept it in the end.
Them twice.
If I'm completely wrong, and it starts in your own division. Like Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Baltimore may not even be a playoff contender.
I mean, we looked at a list at Baltimore. We looked
at Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, and they do knock them out.
Playoff content, but
I'm saying if they beat them up, the two best teams in the AFC West, without question, are Denver and Kansas City.
I think there's question, but I would agree with you.
Do you think the Chargers are better than Chiefs, Carrington?
No, I just think that I think we're saying there's a big gap. I think the Chargers are going to be good too. I think they'll have something to say about that. I think that I'm with you guys in the Broncos. I'm with the defense. I think the sophomore slump people, I think you answered it perfectly. The devil's advocate to that is, okay, let's say he doesn't have to be what he is. He's got Sean Payton, and he's got a top five defense, so he doesn't even need to replicate what he was last
season. Which of the good quarterbacks has a sophomore slump?
Because CJ Stroud.
Yeah, that's fair, but they still made the playoffs and won that division, although that division wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But C.J. Stroud doesn't have Sean Payton. And what I was going to say is, like, we rank the quarterbacks who we think are the best in the NFL, and I think the top four is undisputed. It's Patrick Mahomes and three others, right? None of those guys had a sophomore slump. Bo Nix was on a list of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL. Whether that's your opinion or not, he made a list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL we talked about earlier in the week. If you think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, then he's not going to have a sophomore slump. The good ones don't. The really good ones don't have a sophomore slump. They improve their game. They change their game. They get better. So if you think Bo Nix is really good, then I don't think Bo Nix has a sophomore slump. And if you don't think Bo Nix is good, that's fine.
Who's your biggest threat to the team?
Mine would be Baltimore. I think they've got the best roster in the AFC, maybe the best roster in the NFL. Probably not because of the Eagles, but yeah, I think they're loaded. I think that defense is going to be really good. Maybe not Broncos good, but that secondary is Broncos good, if not better. Their first round pick and Malachi Starks will have the best safety duo in the league.
That's why you like him. It's close to your name.
It's close to my name. Malachi Starks and Kyle Hamilton will be the best safety duo in the league. And then, yeah, they're going to have that running game back. I don't expect a drop off from Derrick Henry. They added in the wide receiver room. I think they're loaded. Isaiah Likely, another year better. Mark Andrews, hopefully he gets his, you know, self-esteem back after the long offseason.
First play of the season is going to Mark Andrews.
Better, yeah.
First play, pass to Mark Andrews. Yeah. Bet it now.
Yes, I love that. But yeah, that would be that just from a roster perspective. And you got Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson's going to be incredible. Yeah, give me the Ravens.
And you make it an easy throw and catch. He catches it, gets 8-10 yards,
yes,
first down.
First
the crowd's
down.
Cheering for him.
Big time.
You know, and then he's back.
Yeah.
And then that's how you do it right there. That's how you give somebody the confidence back that really needs that confidence. Easier to do that in the NFL than it is in Major League Baseball. You know, baseball, we want these guys to start playing better. They're also facing somebody that's throwing 95 miles an hour. Yeah. Very hard to do that.
Yes.
In football, you can design plays to get somebody open, to mm-hmm. give them that confidence. Just like Andy Reid, when a guy fumbles, he goes right back to him, right?
Yep, every time.
Every time. Mark Andrews has got to catch the first pass in the first game for the Ravens and let the crowd cheer him on, because that guy does deserve better than what he got. Bad timing to have all that happen, but they don't need to react the way that they do.
Your best friend on the text line said Mahomes had a sophomore year slump.
The year he took him to the Super Bowl and won it? Because that was technically his sophomore year.
Yeah, he went from 5,097 yards, 50 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions to 4,031 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions.
And won the Super Bowl.
Sophomore slump.
I mean,
what a dumb text.
Seriously. Like, yeah. He's not wrong.
From statistics, yes. He threw for 1,000 less yards and 25 less touchdowns. But again, it was, welcome to the new team. You have a defense now.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't need to go out there and score 40 to 50 yeah. points a game to give yourself a chance to win.
See, now I know why. Now I know the answer to the most hated team in the AFC West. It's the Broncos. Because the minute you give them any praise, here comes all this. You guys suck. Broncos are trash. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, we actually
do. The Broncos. Yeah. Why do they do? Why do you feel so strong about the Broncos?
What if we said the Raiders though? What if we said the Raiders were that team because they've got Geno Smith, they've got Pete Carroll.
But you wouldn't, because it's not. It doesn't have it.
Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, they wouldn't care as much because they're not actually frightened. I think fans this year are actually got a little scared in, deep down of the Broncos. And I think if you're smart, I think of the Chargers too.
And I love this because I'll just go back to we got 15 and Andy Reid.
Damn
you
right.
know, like everybody can say that how good these other teams got. At the end of the day, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are still walking through that door. Patrick's got shorter hair, but he's got revenge on his mind. Andy Reid ain't happy. They got wide receivers that they can go deep with now. They got Travis that's going to go out and have a damn party. They got 3 running backs. They got a new offensive line, fresh young guys on the defensive side, a rejuvenated Spags giving Kelsey crap about his GPA. Tube is out there coaching special teams. People forget we've got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and we prop up all these other teams. And I'll just continue to come back to it and go, we got the cheat code. And when you think you've got it figured out, they got another cheat code and they find a way to beat you every single time. Mm-hmm.
What do you think is more likely to happen? Mahomes throws for 5,000. Travis Kelce has 1,000.
5,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about how...
Well, 17th game, yeah.
And it's one of the best offense, maybe the best offensive cast we've seen him with.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that was a rush to judgment by me going, oh, 1,000's easier. But when you have all these weapons and you're just throwing it around, yeah. 5 to you, that's 10, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. And the 17th game, but they don't ever play in that because
exactly.
everything's wrapped
play in
up.
That. Yeah. yeah,
I don't want them to play.
Me
in that
either.
Game. I don't want to play in the 17th game. I like the Chiefs. That's their silent protest of the 17th game. We're not playing starters.
We don't do it.
I would love to see another 5,000 year.
Please,
because I don't necessarily think it debunks the fact that that means he didn't have a defense. I just think that I don't know. How you ask if. There's that guy for the Royals that can go into the locker room and be like, F this, we're tired of losing. Let's get our heads out of our ass. I wonder if there's like that capability in Andy Reid to be like, you know what? enough of 28 to 17.
Yeah.
Let's just go out there and do what the Detroit Lions did last year. Because last year, the Chiefs won 15 games. Everybody just nitpicked it. They didn't sit back and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, they've won 9 in a row, guys, and they're the two-time defending champs, go over 3 in a row, playing on the shortest rest, on the, you know, least amount of stamina, and here they are. It was, well, they won because Ja'Marr Chase got, you know, stupid. They won because they blocked a field goal.
Right.
What if Andy Reid's like, you know what, go out there and put 50 on the board. F it. I don't care. Hollywood, Juju, Rasheed, whoever, Xavier, just go out there and play. Let's just go out there and try to put up 40 points a game
and
only give up 17 at the most.
And, guys, it's Travis's last year, so let's go do it anyway.
Yes, let's have fun.
Right? I love that line of thinking, too, by Dusty. Like, all right, enough of this. Tired of being in these games in the fourth quarter. Let's go finish these people off at halftime.
Please.
Let's go up 21-3 at halftime and not blow the lead. Let's go up 21-3 at halftime and go up 42-3 in the third quarter. And then call it a day.
I
feel like that's an interesting question to ask. Do you have more belief that somebody in that Royals locker room can flip a table and get everybody pissed off and ready to go out there and start, you know, winning games? Or do you believe more that you would see that side of Andy where it's like, yeah, you know what? Play action pass. Coach, we're up 31-0. I don't care. Do it.
Okay. I think the Andy thing, because you can control that.
But it's, I've never seen it.
Yeah. 20 plus years, he's like never done that.
I've never seen it. And I would love that side come out.
But maybe this is the new version of Mahomes. Now that he's got the shorter hair, you know, he can go in there and, you know, now I've reached the adult stage of my career. You know, I've been there, done that. Andy, I've done everything you wanted me to do. I need you to do one thing for me. What's that, Patrick? We're scoring 40 a game.
Yeah, let me just air it out.
Just let me do it. Let's go do it and let's go score 40 a game. Because I know there are some in that organization that I've talked to, like, bombs away, let's go. Like, wanting to unload on everybody this year. And I think based on the way that the Super Bowl went, I think this is the year that Andy allows that to happen.
You probably remember it like it was yesterday, but how many times would you, like, go to the pool? And your kid's like, Dad, I don't want to wear the puddle jumper anymore. I don't want to wear the jacket. I don't want to wear... All right, jump in the deep end. See what happens. Oh, they can swim by themselves. Okay, fine. A little nervous at first. Oh, dang it. There's an errant throw that went for an interception. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, it's like, oh, wow, this is nice. I can sit back in my chair, put my sunglasses on, talk to my wife, and my kids can swim, and I have no issues.
Right.
Andy Reid can then sit on the sideline, put his playbook down, cross his arms, say, all right, Pat, go call the game. Go have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Go hang 41 on them.
Yeah,
who
it's
cares?
Like now it's the driving right now. When she first started there driving, I'm on Life 360 looking at every turn where you are. And I'm like, see you later. You know, but that happens.
Your will to make sure it's fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You start to trust your kids more, right? As they do more and more and more and more, you build that trust. And maybe that's a great analogy too, Justy. I love it. Like, we're at that point now where it's like, let's just go do this, man. Mm-hmm. Let's just go have some fun. Travis's last year. We're not saving anything anymore.
Yeah.
We want this to be a year to remember. We want to raise Lombardi, but we also want to entertain and we want to have fun. Because I think Patrick, just from enough conversations that I've had, has been frustrated the last couple of years not being able to do what he was able to do before. And now you've got the ability to do that. You got an offensive line, hopefully, that, you know, stays healthy. And then you got receivers that can run all over this field and a tight end and three running backs. Like it could be a year that we all just like, man, this is freaking awesome, baby.
Yeah. That'd be nuts. I mean, especially with what you have.
Change the narrative.
Yeah. I
mean, yeah.
You know, you got Xavier Worthy. You ran a 4.2 combine speed.
Yep.
His combine outfit is literally in the Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame. You have a guy that's possibly could be suspended, but could come back and be the big body receiver of the middle.
Smash.
What are you going to do? Could you imagine those routes in Madden underneath with Rice and then over the top with Worthy? Hit a pump and somebody that safety bites.
Done. Touchdown. Yeah.
Safety doesn't bite. 15
but
automatic
see,
yards.
That also goes into why they weren't able to do that stuff last year with all these injuries. No, like, I know everybody just wants to wave a magic wand and Patrick Mahomes is going to throw it deep. But when you don't have that guy underneath to have the safety potentially, and we are getting nerded out right now, but it just goes to show you, like, the injuries do matter. They all add up. And to still be 15-1 with all of those guys injured, I mean, what are we doing here, man? Like, remarkable.
Insane.
And now if all these guys stay healthy and they all play 16 games, you got the opportunity to do things you couldn't do last year because you didn't have the players out there on the field.
More likely this year, 90 catches for Kelce or the Chiefs actually play a meaningful 17th week game.
90 catches for Kelsey.
17th.
Okay. We'll wrap this show up on the other side and have some more exquisite conversations about OTAs and where Mac will be today and set up Friday, as it is the end of a Thursday show here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
I tell myself there's a chance, there's a possibility, there's an opportunity for me to try the 999 challenge. I'm just not sure I've got it in me. Because I don't know if you saw the video. Kramer and I went around the stadium on Tuesday when the Caglione home debut happened, where he had people smell Caglione.
It's a great video.
And I feel like Kramer constantly is like, dude, see, we should do this, but like, you do the 999. And I'm like,
no,
I just don't know if I can do... 9 brews, 9 dogs, and 9 innings.
Has anybody ever completed that challenge that we know? Gold tried the other night.
You got 2 down. But see, that's the thing is, like, you have to do per inning.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, I don't know, like, if my strategy changes or stays the same. Like, do I top of the first, am I chugging the beer?
And is then it the bottom whole first
of the
inning,
and then the
right?
bottom of the first, I hit the dog.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then you've also got to give yourself time to get through the concession stand.
But how big a beer are you supposed to get, though?
I think it's just like a 12-ouncer, yeah. If you can get it.
If you can find that.
That's the problem. They only, like, now, I will say in Detroit, everything's a 12-ounce, and it's the same price as the big beers in Kansas City.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah.
Dang. So, yeah, if I did, like, I don't know. I think the 12-ounce for sure, the dogs is what would wreck
can
me.
You substitute Surfside for the beer?
Sure, I
because now I'm, but now we're having a different conversation.
That would help.
Those would be a little stronger,
but a little smoother and yeah, not smoother. As bloating. Obviously, mm-hmm. There's no bubbles. They're wonderful.
If that was the case, I would just shotgun a Surfside in the top of the first, and then go stand in line for the dog, and I would just repeat
right.
until like the fourth inning, and then I would just like heavily chug. Either way, so
man, I just have you talked to anybody who's completed that challenge? Be honest with yourself. Have you met anybody that's completed the 999 challenge? And if you have, great, but I'm not. I hear people talk about it.
From the 913, I would bet $100 I'd have that done before the ninth.
Well, that's not the way it works.
That's the way it works. Yeah. See, that's why it's hard.
Yeah, you have to go 999.
Because then your belly starts talking to your brain, and your brain realizes you're full. Yeah. And we can't do this anymore. Could I eat 9 hot dogs and drink 9 beers, like rapid fire?
I think it's the
probably.
Dog. I think it's the dogs. The beers are not the issue.
No, the beers
it's the dogs. Happen.
Yeah.
It's the bun.
You got to soak it, and then, yeah.
You got to chestnut it, yep.
Yep. All right, so Zach Taylor, he's in the news now. Now that Cincinnati is continuing to go through these things?
Yeah, this is from Mike Garofalo. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor on Shamar Stewart leaving minicamp amid a contract dispute. Quote, every year you kind of learn something new in this position, and this is just one of those things that the players have managed really well.
That's a great comment. So basically he's telling his team, I'm on your side, without telling them that he's on their side, because I'm sure there's a lot of players that are pissed off. And they're not pissed at the player. They're pissed at the organization. And when you're pissed at the organization, you're pissed at management. We all know how that works. Wherever you work, management sucks, right? Nobody wants to deal with that. And so the players are the same way. Management sucks, man. I don't want to deal with these people. And then to have your coach come out and basically, that would be like Spectre coming out and saying, everybody above me is stupid. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with anything they're saying. I support you, right? You can't do that kind of stuff.
We would have a new program director.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Rob Brennan would be in that office Monday.
And that's where I'm getting like, in a related story, Zach Taylor is no longer coaching the Bengals.
Exactly.
But I don't hate what Zach Taylor did. I love what Zach Taylor did, because that's him saying, I'm here for you guys. And now those players know this guy's for us. This guy is for us. He's not an empty suit middle management, because that's kind of some of these head coaches are middle management, right? Mm-hmm. And he's saying, I'm not middle management, man. No way. I'm on your side. And he said it as best he possibly could. And the Bengals got to hear that and go, oh, damn, man, or even our coach isn't supporting us right now. But he's got 53 other players that need to go out there and win games, and he's got to make sure he's got their back so they play their ass off for him. I love that move by Zach Taylor. Love yeah. it.
Look at you in 1 week coming around on Zach Taylor and Aaron Rodgers. Who'd have thought?
That's
a new day. Yes, it is.
I mean, but opinions can change sure. based on evidence given to you at the time.
No,
I know nobody wants to do that in
no,
this world.
Of course not. You know. This comes from Talon on Twitter. Dusty, I finished the 999 on Tuesday. beers were not the problem by any stretch. It's the dogs. Innings 7, 8, and 9 are 10 times worse than innings 1 through 6. That's what I'm saying, man. You get to the 8th inning, you're like on dog number 8, you're like, dear God, I don't know if I've eaten 8 dogs in the last year.
Yeah, right? Like, you start to get that, like, feeling.
And you know,
like,
when the same taste is occurring, you're like, this is just now, like, what am I doing?
And by that time of the game, it's repeating on you, you know? And then you're like,
I was 10-2 with the Royals, Daniel. Again,
if I was in college, I would do that no problem, right? 300-pound Bob, let's go. Forget about it. Doesn't matter. Now I'm like, oh, God.
All right, here we go. 913. I will try it at home tonight and report tomorrow.
Oh, God, don't do that to yourself, man.
Go get a couple packs of Bar S. Nuke those things. Put the buns in the oven for like 30 seconds. Load them up. And get that fridge ready.
Are you putting condiments on these things? Are you eating them?
You have to mix it up. I think if I was doing a baseball game, I would do like all one would be ketchup. The next one would be all relish. The next would be all mustard. The next would be like barbecue sauce. And then I would just go through.
How would you cook the hot dogs if you were doing this at home? Griddle, boil, grill, fry.
I'm going to make them the best I possibly can. So right? Put them in the Blackstone. Just roll them constantly.
Yeah.
And then just keep going.
Will you boil them ahead of time in beer and then put them on the black stuff? I think we're getting a little bit too far. But like
somebody says, how can you do the 999 when they stop selling beers in the bottom of the 7th?
You buy one ahead of time and save it. It's not that hard.
There you go. I was waiting for somebody to get on that. Ketchup and onions on all 9.
Ooh, oh,
buddy boy.
The onions I can do. The ketchup and onion combo?
I don't know about that one. If I had ketchup and onions,
I want to throw up right now thinking about it. I really want to.
Or ketchup and onions.
Ketchup and onions.
Oh, golly. Yeah, you got to change up the condiments. That's the move. Somebody says grape jelly is the secret on the dog. That makes it taste like one of those like little smokies.
Grape jelly on a hot dog.
I don't think I hate it.
No, I don't hate that idea.
I'm thinking about it out loud. Like,
816 says, my money is Binkley would do it.
Yeah, but the thing with Binkley is he wouldn't play by the rules.
No, Binkley, would be too confusing.
Yeah, when I go wait 9 innings, I'll eat 5 dogs in the first dutch. So I'll chug 4 beers. I got halfway there. Like, that's how the game works.
Right.
That's how I'm doing it.
There's juice all over the place.
And then he would flip it on you to be like, let me see you eat 4 hot dogs and chug 4 beers and 2 innings, dust man.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I'm arguing.
No, we're not doing it that way. Here are the rules. What?
Oh, somebody says straight josh it and put mayo on the dogs. You put mayo on the dog, I'll be by a toilet going... Is that on tune?
I think he's right there.
Okay.
Just check. I don't know if it's on time.
Does he think those are good?
That one's, he's yelling.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Because when I sing, I know it's really
bad. The library's open? I don't know, man. For the guy doing the challenge at home, throw $100 in the toilet to make it just like at the stadium.
Oh, wasting money. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Well, you get a pack of Bar S's. That's like $1.89.
Are they that expensive now? Yes. Like sometimes, like you used to be able to get Bar S's for under $1 for 8 of them, right?
Oh man!
And why do they sell the buns in 12 packs and hot dogs in 8 packs?
Gosh! So there's more strategies coming up, and then Talon 1984 on Twitter says the worst part about it is no one talks about the day after.
Oh yes,
that's always in my mind. I'm like, yeah, dude. Like you're
over the week after.
You're just. Oh,
I guess the beer would push that through, but I mean, my God.
I mean, imagine that first burp in the morning. And you use ketchup and onions. Yep, you better believe it. I don't want anything to do with that. Hey, fun show today, guys. We'll finish the week off tomorrow. We'll have one more qualifier and then a winner.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck.
But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That $500 Hy-Vee gift card for Father's Day. We'll get more into Oakmont tomorrow as well, plus Richard of the Week. And all that sort of stuff coming up next. So it's Cody Gold and Drew from 10 to 2. Before we do that, though, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.